there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Word to your mother.
Are we rolling? Go, fine. Goddamn. Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us. The Two Cool Moms. Another episode here. I am Joe Gatto.
Hi, my name's Steve Byrne.
And we are joined by the very lovely, we decided to move him up to the main seat, one of our favorite cool aunts, Mark Jagarjan, a.k.a. Jiggy. Jiggy's here, everybody.
Good to be here. From behind the camera to right in front. I've worked my way up on this podcast.
You had to come all the way to Nashville, though, to get in front. So Steve's excited.
No, I just know that there's a better best friend here. So it's like I'm just pissing all over you. Let mark my territory.
Oh.
So welcome to our show, Joe and I's show. Welcome, Mark.
Wow,
so,
you're coming at him with angry mom energy.
No, I'm just marking my territory. Welcome to our show.
You did sit in the middle, which I saw. You're like, you go here. Like you had to separate us.
The whole show, I'm just going to go like this. Just mad dog you. Yeah.
No, but you actually clicked with Jiggy pretty well, quickly. Yeah. People like Jiggy.
How can you not? But I don't think we've ever mentioned this on the air, but the first time I came out on the road with you guys, I was coming out to like help Joe or whatever, or punch up or just be there to be supportive. And then I brought my camera and I was like, oh, I'll take pictures while I'm here. So I took pictures and Jiggy's the nicest, happiest. I mean, he's smiling now. Yeah. And the minute he gets on stage, He looks like somebody farted in an elevator.
He's got
when you're on stage, it's so hard to get you smiling. It's weird.
I took that as like real constructive criticism, though.
Yeah.
I really try to smile more on stage.
But I
thought about it. I'm like, oh shit, maybe I don't smile. Does everyone hate me?
I'm so unlikable.
I know. I just like
funny, but then he's just like selling it.
Intense.
And I was looking through all my pictures. I'm like, when does he smile? He doesn't smile at all.
It's a very serious operation I run.
Yeah.
You're comedy. I'm so happy to be there.
Yeah.
I try to make people smile. I'm not very funny, but I make people trick people into having a good time. Please. By when they smile, they're like, oh, he's having fun. I should be having fun too.
So we talked about this a few times on.
I laugh at myself.
He just comes out and does it. Does what we do for how many you've been doing this?
Over 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
10,
you'll make it,
years.
Kid. Stick with it.
He just does it. I mean, isn't there like a? Are you as confused or as like pissed as I am? That he's able to sustain 45 minutes?
I went through last week. I brought out my original joke book from my year one.
Yeah.
Shit. The entire thing. It's an entire year of thoughts and stories, like premises with no punchlines. And my first year. And then his first year, he's doing, we just did an arena. He did an arena with 8,000. There's 1,000 people trying to get in, crushes for an hour.
You can't equate, though. I mean, because I smile. You smile more, kid. You'd be where I'm at, man. Don't worry about it. I'm also a decade older than you. So if you take that part of it, you know what I mean?
My front of my journal from year one, it says smile. I'm like, this is
bullshit.
Don't have to do this.
He burnt it. So where did you grow up?
I grew up outside of Boston.
Outside of Boston.
Yeah,
so he's a Bostonite.
Boston,
and
yeah.
Then your mom, you know, from us, our moms. So give a little insight about what your mom was like.
My mom was a dental hygienist growing up, which was very interesting as a kid because I was completely shunned from all sweets. Like I never had
really?
Any sweets in the house. Like I remember I'd go to my friend John Elkin's house for a sleepover and
John Elkin.
John Elkin had the best snacks. He had shark bites, which was like so exotic.
Oh, you remember shark bites? Yeah.
And we would do a shark bite trade, you know, so it'd be like, because the white shark bites, the great
he's
white.
He's going over to his friend's house like, give me that good, you got them shark bites, give me the good stuff.
Shark bites, the white shark, the great
I'll
white
suck shark. Your dick for a shark bite. I'll suck your dick right now for a shark
Dude,
bite.
Dude, it was so excited. Shark bites. And Dunkaroos. These were
Dunkaroos.
Exotic treats.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I would try to do sleepovers on Tuesdays just so I could go get snacks. John would be like, I don't think you could sleep over. We have school tomorrow. Well, all right.
Right.
You never had, like, Hostess, the traditional
cupcake
with the squirrely thing on it?
No.
Never
no, so you
the sweetest thing. The sweetest thing that we had in the house, it was a big treat, is we had Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran was the big treat.
Because the coated bran.
Yeah.
Don't you dare. Don't you dare.
Come on.
It was my top three growing
raisin
up.
Really?
Raisin Bran.
Are you kidding me? What
did I tell you about my childhood? But yeah, it was one of my top three. Raisin Bran. Raisin Bran, Apple Jacks, Fruit Loops. Boom, boom, boom.
Wait. How do you go from Raisin Bran to Fruit Loops? I mean,
you just pick a different box up, Steve. I don't know. I don't know. They're not in the same box, but they're clearly labeled. I don't know what you grew up with.
Raisin Bran is just like a crumpled old dumpy raisin.
It's
and
no
then
good.
You have Count Chocula, Frankenberry, Honey Nut
Count
Cheerios,
Chocula, okay,
Frosted Flakes, like all these greats that we grew up with, and you're going to the like healthier, like anything with bran, anything that a 10-year-old eats that's bran, it's like you don't need to keep the train moving.
You know what I never really,
your brain, digestive system.
A bran muffin was always a bullshit thing to me, though. My dad used to have a bran muffin, which is the most disgusting muffin of the muffins.
It doesn't sound very good.
It's just like a clump.
What if there was raisin in it?
Then I would eat it. It's a raisin bran muffin, and I would enjoy it. You know what? I don't like your attitude. Get out. Me and Jay are going to do a podcast. I'm kicking you out of the minivan.
I told you he's my friend. He's my friend.
Raisin bran also, on the box, I remember, it's like their big marketing thing was 2 scoops of raisins. Yes. But no, they gave no information about how big these scoopers were. We talk about spoonfuls.
Little bits.
And then it was the sun was holding the scoopers, which is not to scale.
So did your mom, would also... So did your mom do the cooking in the house? Or
my mom cooked every night.
Okay. So
I grew up with, she was a very good cook.
Is that where you get it from?
I think so. I mean, I was just around cooking a lot. My dad cooked more, but, and my dad was in the restaurant business. So I followed in his footsteps a little bit with food, but my mom cooked every night. She still is a great cook. Her meatballs, her Italian cooking is like the best.
Your mom and dad, who's your go-to? Like if you needed advice,
my advice? Oh, definitely was my dad.
Oh, really?
100%.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Two cool moms and a dad.
Two cool moms find a dad.
But my mom was very, she laid the rules down. You know, my dad was more like a friend. You know, my dad was like my best friend, but my mom laid down the rules. And I still remember things that stuck with me. Like, I remember driving out of our driveway one day, and I was in that age, like the 12, 13, 14 age. Mm-hmm. My mom looks at me, and she goes, "I'll know if you ever lie to me." And I was like, oh, shit.
Did she?
What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember I was in high school the first time I ever like went drinking. I had like a beer.
What did
and a half.
You do? Was there something you did to precede her saying this?
No, I think it was.
That seems like a weird thing for a mom to just turn around and go,
"I'll know if you ever
lie." That weird look. Yeah, that's weird.
I think it was around those pivotal years where, you know, I was the oldest. So it's like, is my kid going to get into drugs? Is my kid going to be that kid in the school? Which I never was an issue. I never got in trouble with anything. But I think my mom in those. That like eighth, ninth grade year wanted to know.
Well, maybe
like,
that's
don't
why.
Lie to me.
Maybe that's why you didn't get into anything.
Yeah, I think I just never even had an inkling.
Telling truth was always a big thing in my house too, and I never really. I'm not a liar. Pretty straight shooter, but my mom did the thing where she would like lie, but not sugarcoat either. So you know when you're telling somebody the truth or shooting them straight, like my mom would be like, you know, she'd be one of those, "Oh, you look that. That's terrible. That's a terrible shirt." Like she would say stuff like that. Like she wouldn't be like, "Oh, you might want to wear something else to my sister." She'd be like, "Oh, you don't want to wear that." Like it was like just the way that she said things. So I think I've inherited that part of it where I don't.
Yes,
really
you
sugarcoat.
Have. Yes, you have. You. And I'd like to hear more about Jiggy's boring teenage years. Can we recap that, please? Boring! You want to get in this?
You're the rebel, huh? Oh, well, somebody's on a clock. Go ahead. Hit it, Mom. Jesus.
See, well, I wanted to give
it. All right, we get it. We get it. Go ahead.
I got it.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to give you the first one, okay?
Oh, okay.
That's what I want. I want to see how I want him to come out of the gates hot. Okay.
Could you smile more?
It's on my notebook.
All right, here we go. I want to do that second, but okay. So this is coming to us from Suzanne. Mm-hmm. Hi, moms. I look forward to your podcast every week. I have a question inspired by Steve's live show on Sunday. It's probably not good. Do you ever have issues with audience members who may take offense at your jokes? Okay. Oh. Do you deal with that?
I don't think I do. I don't think I have any. Offensive material. Although I will say, and I think everyone at this table understands, in the last like 4 or 5 years, it's been harder because I think what people find offensive has gotten pretty far down. Like I think anyone can take offense to anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
If it's depending on how the personal filter is. So I have kept that in mind, though. Mm-hmm. I have kept it in mind of how
people don't want to contest Jiggy because he's not smiling on stage, and they're scared that he's some sort of Armenian fucking terrorist. He's just this angry comic that's up there.
This angry young fellow.
Well, every set before he goes on, his mom in his head, he just hears her say, "I know if you lie to me."
Don't you ever lie.
Because I have
to
tell this audience the truth.
Yeah.
You're really clean, but have you had incidents where
I'm not necessarily clean.
But you know what
oh,
I mean?
Oh, like
you,
offensive? No, yeah, from the you know, I have a couple of jokes that are.
But have you had gotten any blowback at all online? I know you're pretty.
No, we had gotten. I had gotten one actually in when I was with the boys. We had done a show where I did a joke that someone took offensive to a trans person, mm-hmm. and for me, I had been doing the joke for years mm-hmm. at this point. And it was just one person had come. You know what? Actually, I think it was here. I think it was in Nashville. At Danny's after the show, it was a joke. It was a back and forth between me and Q. And somebody said to me, "Oh, we should think about that because blah, blah, blah." And I was like, I never even thought of it that way. And I honestly forgot what the joke was. And honestly, the joke wasn't even that funny. So I was like, it was just a joke that we enjoyed or whatever. And I was like, okay. And then I didn't tell that joke anymore. And just because I always weigh it against making one person feel bad, making multiple people feel good and right. that kind of thing. And it wasn't enough for me to was like, okay, it wasn't a major joke that I was like, oh, I was okay losing it.
I'm the opposite.
You lay into, you go for offensive, but that's your thing though.
I don't purposely try to offend people though.
No, there's a huge difference there.
Yeah. Likeability is a huge part of what you can get away with and how the crowd takes it. And I think you're the king of like being,
100%.
You ride that line. You're like on the wire.
You cowabunga your whole set, dude. It's amazing to see. Well, you've branded yourself in a way too that is, because you have also been a victim to a lot of it too, right? So you have that too, where you're coming at it from a lens of, you know, people say shitty things. I'm going to say shitty things, but we're going to laugh at it. You know what I mean? It's a little different
that
way.
There's a point to it. But there are times, especially those crowd work shows. I love doing the crowd work shows where you're like, all right, how? It's like the challenge when you're doing material is to execute the joke, right?
Yeah.
To find the joke, to find the melody in the joke. And then when you're doing crowd work, You're living by the wire, right? You're just like, all right, let's see what we can come up with. You're really good at it. You're really quick on things and drumming up things. But I think it's gotten to the point where, you know, like when you talk to a rock star or you read about the rock stars, it's like, you know, they're banging groupies. Then they're having like eight ways. And then they go home to their wife and the wife's like, why don't you hang out? Why can't you make love to me anymore? And he's like, I need eight other women in the bedroom. So there's like, I think when you do a crowd work, for me, it's gotten to the point where I've done so much of it. It's like, now I just have to see if I can put myself in the biggest hole possible.
To dig yourself out.
And dig myself out of it. I gotta cross the blue line.
We've done crowd work shows together, and it's very funny because like, our brands are a little different.
Well, I've seen you go, okay, we got enough of that, Steve. And I'm like, okay, we'll just pull out.
But it is. I think 100% comes down to likability and what your message is. Like, if there are people that just do it because they're going to try to be just offensive just to get the laugh, and that I don't do.
Yeah, when we're on stage and we do crowd work, it is a yin-yang parmesan.
It is a yin-yang parmesan, for sure. Extra parmesan.
The parmesan superseding the yin-yang.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, we did that
we
one.
We did that
okay.
one, yeah.
Okay, coming to us from Nathan. Hey, my two cool moms, too cool, and cool dad. My name is Nathan, but you can call me Nate if you want to. It's no biggie. I want to ask you for some advice about moving. I'm up at school, and I'm moving into a new apartment. This is going to be the first time in 2.5 years where I won't have a roommate. I usually have work and class until about 6, and I come home to people that I could talk to and hang out with. I obviously don't have that anymore. How can I keep myself from going stir crazy in a new place? And I picked this because you recently have found yourself
stir crazy in a new place.
Yeah, but you're by yourself for the first time.
Yeah. I actually did this exact scenario, and I lived, a lot of people go through this in college, and this happened to me when I lived in the dorms, and I felt like that was like the most social I was going to be, living in the dorms, you're on campus, right. And then the first year I moved off campus and I lived alone, I'm like, this is going to make me less social, and it actually did the opposite. I found myself being more social because I wanted to go out, and I went to more events, I went to more parties, I found myself making more plans. Mm-hmm. So I think this situation can actually lead to making more friends and doing more things.
Right. I agree, because if you look at your options, it's either sit home versus sitting home with your roommates. It's now sitting home alone,
right,
or going to find and hang out be with people. So it makes you go out more. I 100% agree. I feel like you do more of that. My time at home is really more just now. Well, mine's a little different because I have the kids, and you know, and that's where I'm spending my time before I go home. But I think it's, if you have the choice to sit home alone by yourself, you're going to find something to do.
Yeah.
You're going to go do something, right? So I would say and encourage that part of it where you're not going to be spending as much time at home. And the flip of that is you're going to enjoy your time at home because it's going to be your downtime when you're by yourself.
Right? The thing that I missed in that situation, and I lived with four other roommates in New York City for 7 years.
Oh, wow.
And like basically a little frat house before I moved in with my fiance. And I was also nervous about the situation of losing contact with my buddies.
Right.
What I found in that time, in the 2 years since we lived together, is that I've had more quality time with my really good friends that I missed. So more hangs, great hangs.
Right.
The thing that you don't get back is the like laying on the couch, casually watching a movie,
right,
and doodling around type thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you have to just accept that things change, and it's part of like getting into a new situation. It's never going to be perfect either way.
Right.
But I wouldn't change anything. And I think that I've found more quality time with my good friends because I'm seeking it more.
I kind of liked not living with, one thing I liked about kind of not living with somebody is that like you could, you know, well, I would walk around naked anyway, but I'm just saying like Murr has seen me naked more than probably anyone. But I think I live with Murr for context. I think part of it is like, you just have to, you know, that's the part that you, it does, like when you said it changes, it does. But that was like the fun part, is that you don't have to like be on for anybody. You don't have to, you could do what you want to do a little bit, and you've never experienced that. So that's going to be kind of a cool part of the journey, is that it's on you. Like your house is going to be your house.
Freedom of refrigerator is a huge perk.
Huge.
And if this is not a part of this, the freedom of the refrigerator is worth the entire thing. I remember when I first moved in alone, I was like, I opened up the fridge and everything that I put in there was fucking still there. And I was like, this is great. That's a huge part of it.
There's orange juice left.
Yeah.
This is where we talk about the difference of brands.
Okay.
You have not addressed the biggest factor. My roommate from college is right there, Penn Hollow. We lived together off campus, in a home. You're in college. Masturbation. Nobody's talked about it. This is the biggest thing. When you're by yourself, it's the greatest. And imagine having like the internet in college. We didn't have the internet in college
back then. Right, right.
It was all these musty mags and VHS tapes and, you know, whatever your imagination could conjure up. But now it's like, to have a laptop and the access to anything you want at 22, I would never leave that.
Maybe he won't be like social.
I would.
He's never going to leave the house.
And like, I'd be squirting lotion.
Gatorade?
Like, okay, what am I? Because I got to get my electrolytes in. I gotta keep myself pumped up. It's just nap, jerk.
He gets
nap,
very.
Jerk. Burger King, jerk, nap. So I remember I was living in a dorm in Clark Hall at Kent State, and there was a porn that was being passed around called LADP. So it's not LAPD, it's LADP.
Angeles Dick Police? It's a classic. Everybody knows it. I mean, it even made its way to the East Coast.
It was Dick Patrol.
Dick Patrol? That's great. Los Angeles Dick Patrol.
And people passing it around? I've never been a part of that.
I've never been a passer.
Everybody would have like VHS tapes.
You'd have like a library in the frat? In the dorm.
But how did the pass go? Like, you're just like, let's have lunch, by the way.
Oh, could I borrow this copy of Speed? And then you take the other one, too. You know, so just, it was always this thing. And I remember I borrowed LADP. I was in my room. I, of course, didn't lock my dorm room.
Oh, no.
And my roommate was gone.
There was a SWAT team busted in. You got busted.
Pretty much.
Watching LADP, you got busted.
I got busted, and I didn't get to bust. So the door comes in. My buddy Skidmore comes in, who was also our roommate, and he saw me and just started dying laughing. And that... You think you're going to hold on to that secret? That got spread like wildfire through all of Clark Hall. Not our floor, the whole thing. And then it went over to the girls' side or whatever. So then we always did these things where we had poster boards, and we would write little messages or whatever on the poster board. And then it's, please welcome newest member of LADP, Steve Byrne.
Oh,
congratulations.
No.
There's a police badge and me drawing pictures. I was just like, all right, yeah. So everybody knew I... But everybody was doing, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
Course,
yeah,
of course. You just got busted.
So I think,
well, thank you for your service, officer.
In college, my teammate, we had a class together, and he got asked, my friend Mark, he got asked to to present in class, and like, and this is during, you know, there was internet, so he has his laptop projected for the entire class, and they start to type in the website where it has to go.
No.
It goes to like backdoor slots. And he was like, he was on the baseball team. I couldn't get out of class fast enough. I ran to the baseball field. We all printed it, put it on all the lockers, backdoor sluts. He's bright red for the entire season.
That's amazing.
It was so funny.
I remember Nick Swartzen had told me this story. He was getting on a private plane. He had written the script with Adam Sandler. So it's Swartzen, Adam Sandler and his wife, the president of Sony, his wife, on a private plane. They're just taking off. They just left. It's a six-hour flight. So... The president's like, yeah, do you have the script revisions or whatever? And Sandler's like, oh, yeah, Swartzen worked on it. Swarty, why don't you bring him up? So Swartzen comes over. They sit down. He pops open his laptop. It's like a 4-on-1.
Just like, what the fuck is this, dude?
And Swartzen's like, oh, no. And he shuts his laptop. He's like, how much longer do we have? They're like, 5 hours and 45 minutes. He's like, oh, God.
I used to just take the Sal all the time when we were waiting for a plane in the airport.
Yeah.
And this is before, like, we had like, the lounge access. We'd just be out in the pits, whatever. And Sal's like, oh, trying to keep a low profile, whatever. I would say, I got to take a quick pee, watch myself. He'd go, yeah. And I would open up, like, YouPorn and volume all the way up. And I'd hit play, and I'd walk away. But it would be far enough away, but close enough to him. They'd be like, what? And he'd have to, like, get up. And everybody would think it would be his, and it would just be banging sounds as I'm walking to the bathroom. And I'd be dying laughing.
And of all people.
Oh, it's the best. I used to do it all. That's actually what inspired the punishment we did for him, where we made him play porn sounds in a coffee shop. It was because of that thing I used to do to him.
But having roommates, I think, in college is a great part of the experience. You have to. I mean, my buddy Penn Hollis.
Well, even
here.
After. But roommates could be fun. Like, for I had roommates my whole life. Yeah. Into, you know, all the way up to my, you know, my marriage, up to the late 30s, I always had a roommate.
And I think the ones you meet in college especially, it's a blank slate.
Yeah.
College is a blank slate. Now all of a sudden you're out there in this world, and you're experiencing firsts with other people, collective group of people that are experiencing firsts, like first real relationships, first, you know, drinking bender, first spring break, all these things you're doing. And you if you're fortunate enough, you have this collective glum that sets a precedent for the rest of your life. Like Penhollow, Hurley, these guys I played hockey with, these guys are still my pals to this day. And John and I lived together in New York City. He was working for the NBA. I was working, you know, doing my sets at night, moonlighting as a comic and going off and doing all that stuff. And just that hybrid of even those first experiences in New York City. I was there the night he met his wife. It was crazy. We were walking out looking for a place to drink. And we're at an intersection. I think it was like 72nd and like Amsterdam or something, or Columbus. And we see four girls walking in a bar. And we're like, well, I guess that's the bar we'll walk into. Mm-hmm. So we walk in. Lo and behold, they went to Kent State. And then John and his wife, they struck it up. And,
I struck
out, of course, and I was watching LADP that night.
Yeah. Thank you for your service, officer. This siren's going off, and the girl, he's with this girl. Like, what's that? He's like, oh, it's a police bus. Leave him alone.
I have to do this jerk off.
Yeah. Oh,
it's
wow.
The routine.
All right.
Crazy. But you obviously had tons of roommates.
Oh, yeah. My whole life. And all of them have been best friends, you know, DJ Justin Gerace. And I've only lived with them. I live with people, though, because, like, I'm with them and I'm a fun hang. So people like I live with, like, we're together all the time. Actually, with Murr, it's insane because Murr and I we were living together when we were shooting season one and two, actually. And so I would go to work with him, come home with him, be with him all the time. Like, I saw Murray, you know, 20 hours a day, like, forever. So I think that's that's like torture for that poor fellow, you know. But I would I'd be with him all the time. But I've had plenty of roommates that have become best friends. Like, I keep in touch with all my roommates.
Justin's the best.
Justin's great.
Love that guy.
Yeah, he's the best. We should have him on. He'd be a fun.
But I think if I was in college, if I was talking to a kid in college, I'd say get roommates.
Oh, for sure.
I know it sounds like a huge inconvenience. I'm glad I never lived alone. Like, I am glad. Like, to your point, you always had somebody to go out with on Friday.
Why'd you look at me in the eyes when you said that? Whatever.
What's that?
Why'd you look me right in the eyes when you said, I'm glad I don't live alone? Like, why'd you just talk down to me? Am I? I gave you LB. It was LABD, long ass blink, daddy.
All right. But Jig, you always had roommates then, obviously.
Always had roommates up until 2 years ago.
I had a fun roommate experience.
Did you guys ever room?
No, we didn't room, but we rented a VRBO, a Vrbo, if you will, when we went down to Dania Beach, and me, him, and Justin lived together for the weekend. It was the most fun. I was like, we have to do this every time. Like, I don't even want to stay in hotels anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just all hung out. He didn't add much value, but he just ate all the chips.
But yeah, just going grocery shopping.
Yeah,
and like bringing food. There's such an excitement.
Everything's an event.
Yeah, it's really fun. It's fun to live with people, but you know, if you're gonna go off on your own, there's pros to that too. And I think experiencing both is totally, it's part of life.
Yeah, I think it's a huge part of the college experience, and everybody should have. Okay. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, okay. We'll see how this goes, but I think as comics, we can relate to this.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I love when he gives us like the precursor. That means it's a good one.
This is coming to us from Abby. Hey, you two cool mama jammas. That's how you say it? Mama? I was going to say jammas. Mama, but mama then, yep. Yeah. Good.
Oh, mama.
You want to read it?
Mama jams.
Mama jams, go ahead.
Mama jammas.
Yeah.
You want me to read it?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Oh, okay. You're a guest. Go ahead.
I absolutely love y'all's podcast. I just binge listening to the episodes. It makes working out way more enjoyable. My kids are starting school soon, and their drop-off time is earlier this year. My question is, how do I become a morning person? Also, what is your favorite podcast? So I guess the question is, how do I become more of a morning person? That's an interesting question.
I am not a morning person at all, and I have kids, and I'm still not a morning person.
I know.
So
it's a changer.
It doesn't change me. My wife, thank God, she is a morning person. Thank heavens. And she gets up and she just knows he's useless. We won't even bother.
She's come to accept
She's tried.
She's come She's to tried. Accept it.
Just, it's useless.
How long are you married?
Enough.
Yeah. So she knows.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you a morning person?
I wasn't for the longest time. And my fiance got me to, I slowly adapted to her schedule. She has like a corporate job where she's, you know, she's due in at 9. So I kind of adapted to her schedule over the years. But to answer this question, I think to become a morning person, it starts the night before. And my issue was that, like, especially when I lived with the boys, it was like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock.
3 o'clock rock.
3 o'clock rock.
Here it is. I was waiting for you to
it was coming.
Good.
Here it is.
But that was always, when I became more of a morning person, my nights just became earlier. And that's kind of like step one. If you continue the whatever your lifestyle is and you're going to bed that late, you're never going to adjust. But then I started to like waking up early. I started drinking coffee and I enjoy that. I started watching the stock market in the morning. I'm like, oh God, it's a down day. Great. The Dow's down.
The Dow is down.
I got $300 volatile. I got the newspaper. Yeah. That was the best thing I've done. I get the newspaper every morning now. Yeah. I love it. It hits the door, physical. Turn the page, ink
really?
On the fingertips.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, that's great. So you've inherited new rituals, right?
Yeah. So I think part of the, I hated the morning, but now I've developed a couple of things that I really like.
Okay, what is the morning for you? What time is morning?
I wake up no matter what. I wake up at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Every day.
Really?
Every day. And
that's
I look forward.
For some people, I still think that's too early.
Yeah. I mean, some people get crazy with it. Like you see these TikToks, you got to wake up at 4:30, get the day started. I can't do that. But 8 o'clock, I'm good to go. I have a coffee. I read the newspaper. And I usually watch like a MSNBC.
Okay. What time are you going to bed?
I'm usually between 11 and 12 o'clock.
So you're getting 8 hours. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. But
not for me.
You go to bed later or earlier?
I go to bed 1 o'clock. I'm up at 6:30. I don't get enough sleep. Yeah. I don't get.
How
I don't
do
ever
do
sleep.
That?
I just my whole life. I've never slept.
Get the fuck.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Dodge.
Yeah.
Even if you are there times you're like, I could sleep in. I'm going to sleep in today.
Yeah, my mind wakes up and then I just sit and rock and roll and everything starts creeping in and then I'm over.
But with you, you've always told me it's crazy. The dogs too.
The dogs are a lot.
You're on the
I'm on a dog schedule. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it depends. Like now that I don't have all of them and I just have Biscotti and Spumoni, they've adapted to my lifestyle and they hold their pees and poops in until 7:30 if I get lucky, 8 o'clock.
So you get 5 hours of sleep?
Pretty much.
And you operate on that.
I operate on it.
And you don't feel foggy. You don't feel like haze.
No, my mind is fine. Physically, I'm not well. Like, my body is screaming for more sleep, and my mind's like, too bad.
Really?
Yeah,
so
sure.
So that's a daily occurrence, and you don't capitulate to your body's needs.
I also don't know what capitulate means.
You don't word. Get into your body's needs and go, I should lay down. How about a nap?
I nap sometimes. I'll nod off for a minute. Yeah, here and there. When I'm driving, mostly. when I'm operating heavy machinery.
But how long's a nap? Is it a cat nap or is cat it like nap. A two-hour nap?
JG special 15 to 20. I'm recharged, ready to go.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a quick charge battery.
That is crazy. Crazy. Yeah.
No, I can't.
But I've always been that my whole life because growing up, I was always doing the side hustle at nights, right? I would do my 9 to 5 or 9 to 7 or, right? Yeah. Working, whatever, by the time I got home. And then I'd be writing with the boys, editing tenderloin sketches, doing whatever, doing rehearsals, getting ready for shows. And I would do that. So I'd always have like a two job mentality where I'd have a night job, but I didn't. It was always just my side hustle. But I could sleep like, but once I wake up, I have a problem turning my mind back off. And this is the thing, when me and him were on the road together, yeah. I'll just text me when you're up. And this morning it happened, right? Yeah. We were like, all right, we'll meet downstairs for breakfast at 10 because we got in at 1:30 last night or whatever. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, all right, we'll get downstairs at 10, 8 o'clock. I'm rolling over. It's 7:45. I rolled over. I'm like, I'll wait till 8. I text him at 8. He was texting me, hey, are you up?
Oh, you're up that early
yeah.
too?
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah and we just, went and got breakfast early.
But yeah, I'm just up.
I don't even eat breakfast.
Well, that's your problem.
It's not part of my regimen.
These are all things,
part of my existence. I don't do breakfast.
I've been there and I've done that. And I changed my clock a little bit. And I think for this, if you go to bed a little earlier,
you have to do it
and have something in the morning that you like.
Nope.
Everyone's routine is a little different.
Yep. Mine is.
But my best friend in the world, my friend DJ PJ, we call him Silky because he sleeps all. He doesn't wake up till like noon. We call him Silky Johnson because he just sleeps right through.
Yeah.
And you know he's never become a morning person, and he like DJs at night, and he'll just blow right through the morning. Doesn't eat breakfast. You know what I mean?
When we did the cruises collectively, we probably had the least amount of sleep. That was one of the times, right? When we did the Joker's cruises, right? I think I probably slept 15 hours the whole weekend, right?
Get out.
I swear to God. I was up till 4 a.m. up at 6:30. I am 3 cups a day.
So you.
No, but I don't know I don't think the coffee does anything for me more, but now it's like ritual. Like I have 3 cups of coffee a day. I do feel like I need my afternoon coffee, my 3 o'clock coffee, but the other ones, like I don't need a cup of coffee to wake up in the morning. I'll have breakfast a lot of times and I won't have my coffee till I want it, till I feel like
I need it.
Here's
another thing. I don't know if it factors into like the waking up earlier helping, but I know a lot of people who like to sleep with blackout curtains.
Yes.
And I don't do that. I always have it, my curtains open, even in all the hotels every weekend. Yep. I keep the curtains open and the sun kind of naturally wakes me up, which I think puts me in a better mood. Like every time I sleep with blackout curtains and I like have to wake up, no matter what time it is, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock, I'm always in a bad mood because I feel like I'm like, you're in a cage.
I hate waking up to an alarm. I
hate waking up.
You just want to die? I would have gone night forever.
I would love it if I could be it, like everybody was gathered around me and I went like this and I said, I love you all. Close it. And then we just close and I would just go into an eternal sleep.
Yeah.
Like that would be the greatest way to die.
Right.
My personal best was in college. I slept for 18 hours.
Oh
what?
God,
I remember I woke
crazy.
Up at like 5. I woke up at like 5 o'clock, like dinner time. I slept through all my classes. I was like, shit, I should get some meat. I went down. I had like something to eat. I did a little homework, and then I went right back to bed at like 7. And I woke up. I was like, "Holy shit! I can't believe 18 hours." I slept through fire drills. Those things are fucking loud in college. Loud as shit.
I had one sleepathon. It was my bachelor party, and we were in Vegas, so we're living it up, gambling, clubbing and whatnot. And we went upstairs, and we're like going to go get dinner, and we had just left the pool. And I said, we were going to meet downstairs in the lobby at 7:30 to go downtown Vegas. So I was like, great. So I laid down, I went to bed, and I turned on my alarm to wake me up at 6:30. It was 6 o'clock. I was like, let me grab a half hour. And then I woke up at 7:30, and I was like, oh, shit. And I grab it, and I open the curtains, and it's bright. And I go, it was 7:30 a.m. I slept through alarms, phone calling. They called my room. Everybody was trying to get in touch with me. They didn't know what happened to me. Yeah. I had slept for 13 hours right through. That was the longest because I hadn't slept. I think I slept like 4 hours.
When's
the
last time you had a good sleep?
I sleep well for 5 to 6 hours sometimes, but I don't. I could get to 6 sometimes, but I will say I probably like a sleep where I went to bed when I was tired and woke up.
Yeah.
When I did, I don't can't remember the last time that happened.
The good news for our listeners is if they're looking for a good sleep,
it's right now.
Just have to listen to it.
It's right now. People have been asleep for a good 20 minutes.
Can I, Penhall, will you come over? Because we're talking about all this roommate stuff. Would you tell a roommate story? I'm sure there's something you probably remember that I don't even remember. Do you want to jump over here? He was my roommate in college
Oh, wow.
In New York City. I remember I was hosting at the Cellar. Do you want to come over? I was hosting at the Cellar, and 9/11 happens, and he calls me up and goes,
"You slept through it."
I slept through 9/11. I slept through 9/11. I'm not lying.
Steve, I slept through 9/11.
I slept through 9/11. I swear to God. He goes, "Turn on the TV." I go, "What?" He goes, "Turn on the TV." I go, "What?" He goes, "I go, what channel?" He goes, "Any channel."
It's September 12th at that point.
This is Penn Hollow, and we played hockey together at Kent State. I remember I didn't talk to him for a year because we were trying out for the hockey team. He hip checked me. I rolled over his hips. I landed thud on the ice. I saw the lights and everything. I come up, I look over, I see 16. I go, "Fuck that guy." And for a year, I didn't talk to him. And then my buddy Hurley, who was an amazing hockey player, he goes, "John's really cool. You like him." And then we hung out that night, and ever since then, just great pals. Best pals. Love him. He's a good dude.
Yeah.
Straight laced.
I think Steve is
here.
I think he's underplaying the sleep thing. Let's go to that for a second.
Okay, go ahead.
I think my hands were shaking when he's telling that story. But we went on other visits to other schools while we were at Kent. And we went to OU one time, Bowling Green, all these great schools. And we would typically find a place to stay, right? Mm-hmm. And it was always, we got to get back in a car and get back to Kent State somehow. And we didn't always have the same ride that brought us there. And it was always 8, then 9 in the morning, then 10 in the morning, then 11. It's like, this fucker's got to get up. Like, we got to get back to campus somehow. So it was a constant kicking his feet, kicking him. At one point, trying to drag him out of a place.
No.
One of our trips to Ohio University, we got our car towed, actually, the one that we did take down to that campus. And so while he is still sleeping, we started walking through Athens, Ohio, to try to find our car that we took to the... And we visited his friend, Philpott.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. And they had no idea. We found the towing place eventually, but he still slept. But one of the classic sleeping episodes for Steve wasn't in a place or in a bed or anything like that. He mentioned spring break. So we went to our first real spring break to Panama City. We committed a month ahead of time. We would all take turns driving. Our friend Scotty Gilton. Yeah, he knows what I'm going to say right now. I'm going to embarrass him. Our friend Scotty had an Audi 5000, if you remember those cars. It was like the coolest car ever that he somehow scraped together, you know, allowance to somehow get. So it's the two of us. It's Kevin, who's going to be here this weekend, Jim Skidmore, who you mentioned, yeah, and Scotty Gilton. And we committed weeks in advance. We would all take a turn driving because it's about a 24-hour drive.
Give our oath. Everybody's going to carry their own weight. Yep.
We start off maybe an hour into the drive. We're still in Ohio. He goes to sleep, which is okay, right? Because he was going to take a later shift.
I said 5,000.
Yep.
he only woke up when we stopped to go to the bathroom. Never woke up again. Fine. We had enough drivers. It was okay. We're coming back, and we're exhausted at this point. We're completely wiped after spending a week down there.
Right, of course.
We actually needed him to take a turn. We on our way back, we get pulled over in Alabama for speeding.
It's weekend with Bernie's.
Yeah. And he didn't even wake up during the stop. We end up going to a store in Tennessee, I think. Actually, here in this state.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't have been in the store at that time, but we went in there. He still slept in the car. We eventually crossed the border into Ohio, and we're still maybe an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours from Kent. And he's like, "You want me to drive now?" And I was like,
"Well done.
Are you kidding?"
Well played. Well, so you guys are nice friends. I would have been smacking him in the face the way.
Oh, it was.
You got a good group of friends.
It's my superpower. I love sleep. I did a USO tour one time. It's 18 hours to go to Afghanistan, and we leave LAX. I sit in my Comfort Plus seat or whatever. I'm like, all right, I guess I'll go to sleep.
It's humble brag. He was flying Comfort Plus.
Yeah. Well, the USO takes care of you. And then the plane jolted. I was like, whoa, what the fuck was that? I lift up my hat. I'm like, what's going on? Is it turbulence? They're like, oh, we just landed. I'm like, what?
You slept all the way?
I slept 18
hours.
Oh,
man. You are the opposite of me. We are yin-yang parmesan.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Steve has good timing too, though. So he mentioned the woman I met, Meredith, and he knows her quite well, and he was my best man in the wedding.
He slept through the whole thing?
No. He almost did.
Well, no.
The rehearsal was like, I don't know, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
We were dragging him out of where he had crashed the night before in New York City at 4 in the afternoon, and we had to get upstate. And,
oh, my God.
So, yeah, he almost missed that.
I missed golfing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I was, yeah, I was...
Alcohol poisoning, though. I had an excuse that time because I was in charge of his bachelor party, and we had, it was one of the worst hangovers I've ever had in my life. Literally the sickest I've ever been.
Really?
From drinking was his bachelor party. Jägermeister. I didn't really have it.
It's gross.
But then they were just feeding it to us, and I was like, oh, okay, I have this. And I was in charge, like a dipshit. I'm
anything
like,
that ends in Meister and people drink it is not good.
Jägermeister. You mentioned roommate and food. Steve remembers to this day, if he said one brand of cereal, he would remember an episode we had where another comic made his way over to our apartment in New York City. And it was my food in the kitchen. And it was gone by the morning.
Oh, Godfrey.
Yeah. and to this day, we'll still joke about it because we lived in this apartment where it was two levels.
Yeah.
And he would come home from a really late set. I would go with him for some of the sets, but I didn't go that night. I wake up, all the food's gone. Godfrey was gone at that point. And I'm like, what the heck just happened here? And he was like, well, Godfrey ate your cereal. So 20 years later.
Like a whole box of cereal.
Was it Raisin Bran? Guy's got to get his fiber.
Dude, this is the best. So in college, right, I stopped playing hockey. So Penhall is still on the team. We live in this fraternity house, okay? Because John wants to join a fraternity our junior year. I'm like, what? Why do you want to do it? He's like, for my resume, let's do it. I was like, okay.
I didn't say
it was for something. I was like, all right, I'll go with you. I didn't spark this, okay? You sparked it. So I go. Now we're living in a fraternity house, okay? So I become social chair. And all the parties are downstairs, okay? So they're playing hip-hop, they're playing Dre and Snoop and all this stuff, and I didn't like hip-hop, so I was like, well, I want to do my own party. So I shared a room with them. In my room, I'd play Motown, Jackson 5, Big Audio, you know, Dynamite.
What all the college kids love.
Yeah.
But here's what happened. I called a club honky. Girls loved it. They started coming up to my room. They leave the dance floor. We put black paint on everybody. We had black lights all over it. I had a bouncer.
Wait a minute.
This is when racism was cool.
Joe Gatto is not associated with this podcast.
The glow-in-the-dark paint.
You mean black light paint?
Black light paint, yeah.
Big difference,
black
pal.
Light paint.
Big difference.
Roy Wood Jr., I'm sorry. Black light paint.
Don't name drop your one black friend to try to cover up your racist comment.
Sorry, Godfrey. I'll get you more cereal. So here's what happened, right? So I had a bouncer outside the thing. He would check people's IDs. He'd give them bracelets.
That's fun.
It turned in. They were getting so pissed at me. They're like, you got to stop it because no girls are downstairs. Yep. And we weren't trying to like hook up. We're just trying to have fun, right?
Yeah, this is a fun time.
So here's the thing that happened.
The room was maybe 10 by 10.
We crammed it. I mean, it was like Ferris Bueller's parade, right? And then 3 in the morning, who comes? Tell them what happened.
We returned from a hockey road trip. And you're exhausted at that point. You've been on the road for 2.5 days. And I come stumbling up the stairs because our room was right above the main entrance to the house. And Steve's club honky was at like 9.8 out of 10.
Yeah.
And all I wanted to do was somehow go to bed. And I could barely get in the room. It was like out of a movie. It was literally like out of a movie. I was like, everybody out.
You closed out club honky.
I had to.
Closed it out. He brought his hockey equipment in. He'd come in. He'd pretend nobody was even in there.
Yeah.
He'd just muddle his way in, drop his bag on the thing, walk over it like sad grandpa, turn the music off, and then shut the lights off. It's like, he didn't even say goodnight.
He kicks the door and he's like, LADP, everybody out. And that's all the time we have for Two Cool Moms. Right? Thank you so much. Thank you for joining us. Yeah. We appreciate
you. Sorry, it was spontaneous.
That was great. It was great. Love you. Yeah. You could have stayed for the goodbye. You didn't have to leave. I wasn't saying goodbye.
We got a dismount here.
Yeah. 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 We appreciate you. That's it.
These two cool mommies love you. So show us some love.
Please rate us, review us, follow us on all social media, and subscribe to our YouTube.